Let's Talk is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to Let's Talk, episode 51, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Howdy all, Father Corey Stika. Welcome to Let's Talk, our SQPN community podcast. Glad you could join us. A couple more of our regular friends are here again. First of all, Pat Scott is back with us. How are you doing, Pat?
Doing great.
Well, very good. And Joanne Mercier is also with us. How's it going, Joanne?
Hello, everything is wonderful.
Joanne's got kind of a unique recording studio right now. She's in her car because she's visiting some friends, and this is the only quiet place she could find, it sounds like.
Oh, this is just another chapter of my tell-all book.
Life is always interesting when stuff like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, coming up here this week, you know, of course, as we're recording it was still a week away, but we've got Pentecost coming up here pretty quick. We're almost to the end of the Easter season. It's hard to believe that. I mean, it seems like just yesterday we were celebrating Easter Vigil, and now all of a sudden we're talking about the end of the Easter season and going back into ordinary time. And of course, Pentecost is an important feast in the church. It's one of the big ones in the church that we celebrate because it's something that, of course, we celebrate the Holy Spirit. You know, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, first of all, in the apostles, but then we celebrate the Holy Spirit on our lives. Now, do either of you have any kind of any special connection with Pentecost at all?
I really don't, except, you know, just it's one of those feasts that we get to see red on Pentecost. But other than that, no, I don't have any real association with it. I associate it with confirmation, but that's mm-hmm. about the best I can say.
Sure.
Well, I do happen to have a special attachment to Pentecost and the Holy Spirit in general. My birth parish in Fall River, Massachusetts is Espiritu Santo. You know, the Holy Spirit in Portuguese. And every year, right at the beginning of Easter, we begin the seven Sundays. And there is a tradition in the Portuguese world where we remember the kind Saint Elizabeth, or Saint Isabella. Mm-hmm. And she used to crown the children with her crown. I forget for what, I guess maybe it was Pentecost, maybe for another occasion. But we take that tradition and we use it during the seven Sundays of Easter. And then on the Feast of Pentecost itself, there's usually a grand procession. Everybody comes in for what we call soupage, which is a simple kale soup and some bread. And there's usually auctions. And this is our big feast that we have. Okay. They're very big on the East Coast in New England. They're also very big in California. This is where the Portuguese settled. Sure. In this country. And there are some in Hawaii, because we also settled in Hawaii because Hawaii was closest in culture and in climate to the Azores.
Hmm.
So it's a very interesting mix. Yeah, you won't find Portuguese people in the middle, like in Nebraska. We don't like to be landlocked. But so every year it is very important. I grew up with this respect for the Holy Spirit, and knowing mm-hmm. that the Spirit comes to all of us as long as we just ask for the right. Spirit. So this is something that's near and dear to my heart.
Right. Well, that's awesome to have that kind of connection and that kind of story, because I'm kind of like Pat, you know, other than having, you know, celebrating it every year as a priest, Pentecost is just another one of those feasts we have to celebrate. I think for a lot of people, you know, myself included, sadly, where there isn't a huge connection. And we're talking about it today because it's something I think we need to take more conscious effort towards. We need to think about more. We need to reflect more. We need to celebrate more. You know,
right. And this is how I was brought up. If you were lucky enough to win the drawing the year before, you would have the crown, St. Isabella's crown, in your home for an entire week. And people would come and bring food, and they would come and pray the rosary every night. Mm. And there would be singing and celebration. And it's an honor to have this particular symbol of the Holy Spirit, which is important to us in the Portuguese world, in your home. And the priest would come and the church would come. And it's the way to bring the church to the home, to the domestic church.
Sure.
So it's a really cool, it's just, I grew up with it. I love it. And we had our feast a couple of weeks ago, only because we tend to plan it on Memorial Day weekend, because it's easy for folks.
Right.
And there is one statue that there's many statues in procession, but there is one statue that if people want to walk behind it, anybody can just join in. And I got in there for maybe about 3/4 of the way, and then I should have worn my knee brace. So I had to get out. But it's just ingrained in us that we show our faith to the world, and we go out in these processions, and we do that every single year.
Right.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it is very beautiful and very appropriate, because, of course, you know, going out and showing your faith is what Pentecost is about. You know, it's, you know, we think of the story of the apostles at the first Pentecost, when they were up in the upper room, and, you know, they'd seen our Lord rise from the dead. They'd seen our Lord appear to him multiple times. They'd seen him go ascend into heaven. And he said, I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm going to send you some help. And they're kind of going, okay, now what? You know, you can kind of imagine them again. They're all kind of sitting there going, okay, Lord, anytime now, let's go. You know, not sure what's going to happen. But as soon as that Holy Spirit hit them, they rushed out and started proclaiming the gospel. You know, it wasn't kept for themselves. It was, they went out and they shared the gospel. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, it said that people from all over the then known world were able to understand them, even though, in my opinion, at least, they were speaking their language, you know, Aramaic, but through the Holy Spirit, they could understand what the apostles were saying. And that's just, I mean, it's incredible that the Holy Spirit leads us out of ourselves, you know, and that's really the message of Pentecost. And those is, we've received the Holy Spirit. Now we need to go out and share that. We need to live our faith. We need to share our faith. We need to show our faith. We need to show the Holy Spirit. So the processions and everything are very much a beautiful way of showing that.
Yeah, and I've been doing it since I was about 2 or 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And to see over the years how the neighborhood has changed. Mm. And it has changed dramatically. I mean, I have footage also on like 8mm. of when they used to do it in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And I'll tell you, walking the streets of Fall River now, you almost need a switchblade and a gun.
Ooh.
Yeah. And there were people, there used to be people hanging out the windows. They would hang out their bed covering, because that's something that they do in the old country, as I call it. And there would be people lining the streets. Now you see very different people looking out the window, kind of like, what are they doing? Like, right. That's odd. And they have no problem. People crossing the street right in front of you, you know, with no regard to what we're doing at all. We used to carry the Blessed Sacrament with us. And I think maybe 10 years ago, they stopped that. And they ended up taking out a relic now instead. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. But that's the kind of neighborhood this is in. But right. I can't see not doing it or discontinuing it, because it would be not showing the community who we really are.
Right.
Right.
You know, and the faith that we have in something higher than ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if there's ways that could be used for evangelization, you know, explicit evangelization, not just, you know, the evangelization of showing our faith, but explicitly going to people and saying, hey, we're doing this because, or we did this because, you know, of the faith that we have, and we want to share that with you, you know. And
like trying to get an article into the local newspaper or some type of a radio show where you're talking and reflecting on this for the people. in the community.
It's covered in the secular press a lot.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And it is, and it's covered on the Portuguese channel because they were there filming it. But I think it's really hard where it is in Fall River. There are two or three now church, storefront churches on the route.
Right.
And you see their members sitting outside looking at us, mm-hmm. you know, and I heard as we were going by one of them, I don't know why they do this. They should just go home. This is heathenistic. And I'm sitting there going, really? As you sit there and pass judgment upon yeah. this, you know, lovely display.
Nice. And not exactly heathen to be celebrating the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. But again, the storefront church is a lot of evangelical and mm-hmm. nothing against. Yeah, I get in trouble. Send me mail if you have to. But they don't understand that this is a demonstration of our faith, right. not that we're worshiping or demonstrating something.
Well, and it's
that's what they can't see.
And that's the difficult part with a lot of these storefront churches is, you know, first of all, and this is a generalization, admittedly, but a lot of times they're founded by people who don't have a lot of real deep theology. You know, they're not going for 6-8 years of spiritual formation and theological formation and so on. You know, if they even have a degree in theology, it's pretty incredible. So they don't understand what we're doing when we do these things. And then they read the popular Protestant press, you know, things like Jack Chick tracts yeah, and things like that, where yeah. You Catholics are, you know, you're horror Babylon and stuff like that. It's like, no, we're not. Sorry. Without us, you wouldn't exist. You know, your church wouldn't exist without us.
Very true indeed. And it was funny because we have a lot of different statues. And of course, I know they were looking at him going, you know, idols. And we're, and it's like, no, communion of saints, representation thereof.
Yeah.
You know? Heroes. Heroes, exactly.
Examples
heroes.
That we should follow.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's different now. And right. But I think it's a better witness. You know, we're not doing it for the choir anymore. Now we're doing it to set an example.
Right.
And that's a 60-year shift.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, one thing as we approach Pentecost, you know, talk about, you know, things that we do as part of Pentecost, you know, one of the popular things that we do is the Novena of Pentecost, you know, where for the 9 days approaching Pentecost, we're encouraged to pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit, to pray for the gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to bring down upon us. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it's something that I wish we would do more often. I think, unfortunately, a lot of Catholics kind of forget, you know, that this exists, that we have this time of prayer that we do, because this is the original novena. This is the original 9 days from Ascension. For those of you like you, Joanne, that actually live in a place where Ascension is celebrated on Thursday, not
yes.
Thursday, Sunday, like Pat and I do.
That's yep. that's a whole other discussion.
Yes, it is.
We were discussing that on Facebook last week as to how New England would love it if we could go the rest of the way of the country. And I was sitting there going, no, we shouldn't.
The rest of the country needs to go back with New England, in my opinion, but that's who I am. But
yeah, well, we're the minority, apparently.
Yeah. But it's a, you know, it's this beautiful novena, just asking the Holy Spirit to come down upon. And like, there's some of them where you actually, you know, of each 9 days, you ask for a different gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, and you're invoking the Holy Spirit each day. And it's a great preparation, you know. And of course, by the time this goes out tomorrow, you know, we're recording this on Monday. So on Tuesday, you know, you're halfway through the novena. Doesn't mean you can't catch up.
Right.
If you haven't started it, now's a good a time as any, because we still got a few days until Pentecost on Sunday. Now, is that novena for either of you something that you've done in the past? You do? You'd like to do? You just keep forgetting about? Or,
well, I grew up. Our family converted when I was a little bit old. Well, I was six at okay. that point, and so we didn't have a lot of the traditions of the Catholic Church. We didn't sure. grow up with them. And so, no, I quite frankly, I hadn't heard of this specific novena. I've heard of other novenas, like especially Marian novenas or, you know, different ones like that. Mercy, the Mercy Sunday, the novena before that. So this was kind of new to me.
Yeah. How about you, Joanne?
Because of my traditions, I have never really clicked in to the novena itself. I probably should be doing it this year for a lot of different reasons, but and probably will start tomorrow. I'll catch up.
2 days at a time.
There you go. I think I can make it for Saturday at least. Yep. But I think it's a good idea. I think it's something that we should think about reintroducing.
Mm-hmm.
And along those lines, I would say, can we reintroduce the Pentecost Vigil?
Oh,
as a liturgist, that is something I would love to see.
Yeah, that's we'll talk about that here in just a minute, because that is something that another thing that I think a lot of Catholics don't really understand or know, because it's something that was there and then was lost and then has come back again. You know,
I've never heard of the Pentecost Vigil.
Well,
Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a minute. I'm just kind of finishing up with the novena.
Right.
You know, the novena starts on Ascension Thursday. That's the first, you know, after we're done talking about our Lord going to heaven, we pray that first novena. So the idea is the ninth day you pray, it's ninth day you pray on Saturday. So that Sunday on Pentecost, you're prepared, you know, in a way, you know, you've prayed for all these gifts, you know, and, you know, with that open heart that the Holy Spirit will come down upon you on Pentecost to receive them. And of course, all this it's invoking the Holy Spirit. You know, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come down upon us because, again, we need to be reminded of the Holy Spirit working in our lives.
Yeah, and see, the Holy Spirit's always been part of my tradition. And talking to other Catholics throughout the years, I find out that the Holy Spirit kind of gets, you know, I almost want to say second place, but it kind of gets lost between the Father and the Son.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit is a powerful part of the Trinity because Jesus has been saying it now for the past couple of weeks in our Gospels. You know, if you ask me, I will send the Spirit. The Spirit comes from us. The Spirit will stay with you. The Spirit is us, you know, and it's like, hey, this is something that we can have if we just ask for it.
Right.
So it should be more important, I think, in the lives of Catholics.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's something that we need to work on, because I think we can use a little bit of the fire of the Holy Spirit in the Catholic Church today. That's for sure.
I guess one of the first things I really remember hearing about the Holy Spirit much when I was growing up was when we were in a parish where there was a Catholic. I can't think of the right word now. I don't want to say Pentecostal, but it's the
Charismatic.
Charismatic. Thank you very much. That my sister-in-law had participated in a church in Houston with that and was coming back and telling us all about it. And then my mom and my dad joined a charismatic group. And so that's really my first experience of hearing more about the Spirit, you know, other than just the readings.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I've heard of the Holy Spirit my whole life. But of course, like you said, Joanne, it's kind of the second tier. You know, you've got the Father and the Son are the first tier, and the Holy Spirit is kind of the second tier.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really shouldn't do that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of my daughter's friends is a Catholic, and she makes various different things. And last year she made kind of a circular thing for families to suspend, and they had the flames of the Holy Spirit coming down from this round, almost like a mobile.
Okay, sure.
And but anyway, so she was making those and making them available to other Catholic families, and I thought, well, that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's another way of celebrating it in a family, to get the kids really involved more earlier.
Sure.
than I did.
Actually, I could see something like that tying in with the novena, where if you've got it set up where there's the nine flames.
Right. Nine flames.
And you have the kids, so after you pray the novena, one of the kids gets to put the flames on the mobile.
Right.
By the time you come to Pentecost.
I'll have to ask, mention that to my friend. Yeah.
That's kind of a cool idea. I like that. So any Catholic families out there that want to do that, you know, we'll take credit for it. No.
Take pictures. Send us
pictures. We want to see it. That sounds cool. Okay, so now we've talked about it briefly, and you know, after you know, we hit Saturday evening, and there really is supposed to be a vigil of Pentecost that is not just the typical Saturday night, you know, anticipatory mass like we usually do every Sunday. That, you know, it's the same readings, the same everything. Everybody's familiar with the Easter Vigil. And the Pentecost Vigil is very similar in format, isn't it, Joanne?
Yes, it is. I can't remember if it's 5 or 7 reading, because I don't have any of my books with me.
Yeah, it's four Old Testament and a New Testament.
Okay, and even if you don't do the 4 Old Testament, it is suggested that you do the readings for the Vigil on the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And do the Pentecost Sunday readings on the Sunday. But just like Christmas, everybody wants to hear the same thing all the time.
Right.
So they end up supplanting the vigil, which is too bad, because there's some really nice Old Testament readings that you would never hear.
Correct.
Especially from Joel, that could be used. People get nervous, musicians get scared. And
mm-hmm. Well, and it's in. That's what I try to do is I try to do the, you know, you pick one of the Old Testament readings. Unfortunately, usually whichever one is in the book, because people complain if you don't do the one that's in the Missalette.
Oh, yeah.
And but so it is still the readings for the vigil. But ideally, we would do the full vigil where it's formatted like the Easter vigil, which is, as I recall, it literally has reading, responsorial psalm, prayer.
Yes.
In that same format.
Yes,
for the four Old Testament readings. And then you have the New Testament, and is the Gloria at that same spot, or is that at the beginning as normal mass?
I would have to look and see, because I remember when the new Roman Missal Roman Missal 3 came out. It's not new anymore.
Yeah.
There was a supplement that was downloadable that had the entire Pentecost Vigil.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have that somewhere,
yes.
But I do remember reading Psalm Prayer, but I can't remember the placement of the Gloria.
Yeah. So
sorry
it's,
about that.
And that one might just be where it normally is, but there's still, you know, you get that parallel and you get the New Testament reading in the gospel, just like normal. And of course, the reason why I think a lot of priests, admittedly myself, reason why we don't do it is because you're going to go over an hour for mass. You know,
I'm not so sure if it's that or we've just done the Easter Vigil. We've just done sacramental season. Now you want to do a Pentecost Vigil?
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. So, but anyways, you know, generally the readings will be different on the Saturday night mass anyways, because it will be the readings from the vigil. It just won't be all of them at most parishes. And if, you know, if any of your parishes out there do the Pentecost Vigil, I'd love to hear about it, because my experience as a priest and in talking with other priests is it does, the full vigil doesn't get done. The
right.
You know, the alternate readings for the vigil do get done fairly frequently, as frequently as any other time when that's available. But not the full vigil. It'd be neat to see sometime it actually done the way it's supposed to be.
I'd like to try it just once, at least.
Yep.
Well, our parish tends to be pretty liturgically, shall we say, rich.
Mm-hmm.
So I really ought to ask our priests about that. And it may be that there is one that's just not very well advertised that I'm not aware of, because I don't go on Saturday night.
Right.
So, but that would be really, I think I will ask our parish priest, see if they are usually doing that.
Yeah.
And you'll either get, oh, you know about that?
Yeah.
Or what?
What?
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
What vigil? What are you talking about? I just do the readings for Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Bingo.
You know, but it's, you know, that's one of those things in the church, you know, to have, you know, be more liturgically rich. We need to recover some of these things that we're not doing just because we're, you know, we got to get people home, you know, or to their restaurant or wherever or out of the parking lot as quickly as possible or whatever it might be.
And I think go ahead.
I'm just going to say our typical Sunday Mass is an hour and a half. So it's not for fear of offending people, but that's pretty much almost always close to an hour and a half.
Sure.
Wow, that's great.
That's impressive. That's yeah. I've had the complaints where you've gone an hour. Okay, and
so
yeah, so yeah.
We get the extra sprinklings and whatever is appropriate for the season. And
that's great.
So yeah,
and it's possible.
And
go ahead, Joanne.
No, I was just going to say, and I think in doing reviving the Pentecost Vigil, it would bring the three great church feasts back in line.
Mm-hmm.
Because these three feasts are the three special, again, number three, three special feasts throughout the year. And to have Easter and Christmas and Pentecost have a different flavor from your regular average Sunday would really make an impact, I think, on folks, hopefully.
Yeah, well, that is one thing that I think is a loss in the church today, where we don't treat Pentecost as important as a feast. You know, there's up until this is one thing I will ding the so quote unquote new Mass, the current Roman Missal on, is the fact that there isn't a Pentecost octave anymore. That was dropped with 1970 Missal. Because there's a story, probably apocryphal. It's probably a false story, but the story goes that the first Monday after Pentecost that Pope Paul VI was going to celebrate, the green vestments were put out, and he's like, "Well, isn't it Monday of Pentecost?" "Oh no, Holy Father, you got rid of that."
Oh,
you know, and again, it's probably apocryphal, but it kind of took people by surprise, I guess. At least those who are kind of liturgically minded, that you know, this was a, you know, one of the three big octaves. You had, you know, Christmas octave, which we still celebrate, Easter octave, which we still celebrate, and Pentecost octave. And also the Pentecost octave was gone, replaced by ordinary time.
Yeah, but you could spin this. Now, let me do a liturgical spin on this. You could spin it by saying you have the Easter, the Christmas octave, the Easter octave, and the Pentecost novena. So you're still giving the Feast of Pentecost its due, but before rather than after. And then Pentecost closes the Easter season. How's that for spin?
The novena isn't exactly a liturgical thing, though. It's a devotion.
I know, but let's be modern. Let's be modern here and do some spin and say this will work. Like I'm a liturgist.
I use a term about no spin, but that one was already taken by somebody who was really good at spin. But anyways,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying here. Know, Hope Springs Eternal for the liturgists.
You know, it's the one thing when we talk about liturgy, there's gonna be disagreements. You know, but
of course,
you know, but it is. I would love to see. And actually, it is funny when you look in the books, it does talk about that if the octave is a tradition in your community, if it's something that is so important to your community, you can celebrate the Pentecost octave at least Monday and Tuesday.
Wow.
That's
not an octave then.
I know. But it's just kind of funny that the variation is there. And I've seen priests online say, well, you know what, then I'm going to take advantage of it, whether it's, you know, a tradition or not in my community. We're going to make it a tradition. But
a new tradition.
A new tradition.
I'm going to refrain from singing anything from Fiddler on the Roof right now.
Yeah. But
theater reference.
But yeah. And of course, you know, it's after the vigil, of course, we have Pentecost, and we got that, you know, the beautiful readings of the Holy Spirit coming down upon the apostles, and they, like I said, going out there and proclaiming the good news and shouting it to the world. And so this is when we should be especially asking the Holy Spirit to come down upon us. You know, is this weekend when we're getting ready to, or when we're celebrating the Holy Spirit, we're hearing about the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. We need to ask for it in our lives, don't we?
Yes.
Yes, very much so.
Because, you know, we need that Spirit to help lead us closer to our Heavenly Father, to lead us to desire to be with Him, to desire to serve our neighbor, to desire to spread the good news, you know. And with all the bad news in the world, we need the Holy Spirit all the more to help us spread the good news.
That's for sure.
Right.
One thing I love on Pentecost Sunday Mass is the Come Holy Spirit, Come, the sequence, Veni Sancte Spiritus.
Yes.
You know, and unfortunately, none of my musicians have ever learned it and have any desire to learn it. But I consider that a plus for me, because then I get to chant it.
Well, there cool. you go.
Yeah.
And isn't it, now, let me get this straight. If the octave was dropped for Pentecost, what the sequence is also a little, you're not supposed to drop it for Pentecost, but it sometimes does get
yeah.
dropped.
Yeah, the Pentecost sequence is mandatory. Now, there are other sequences that were retained. Sequences used to be, I guess, long time ago, used to be much, 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 much right. more prevalent. Even, you know, I mean, this is hundreds of years ago, and they've kind of dwindled down over the years. Now we only have, I think, three.
Oh, there is a fourth one. I can't remember what the fourth one is.
And only two of them are mandatory, as I recall.
Right. Easter and Pentecost. The one on body and blood of Christ is optional.
Yep. And is it? Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the other one was.
The fourth one was. Oh, now you're going to. I'm going to wake up at 2 a.m. and remember that.
Exactly. But yeah, these sequences, they're such beautiful chants. They're ancient chants. They've been with the church for a long time. And when you hear them, you know them.
Well, I'm very fortunate in our parish that the last several priests that we've had have been very much in favor of music and liturgy. Mm-hmm. And so typically that is all still there in our services, the Latin version of it, as well as, you know, an English rendition somewhere else in the Mass too.
Sure.
But as far as that sequence, it's there in our, and I've been very fortunate with that.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. It's all these things, you know, this is all part of, you know, enriching our liturgy, making our liturgy more beautiful, more celebratory. I mean, all these things, I think we miss that. It's, you know, sequences and things like that. These are joyful hymns, joyful prayers. And that's why I love them so much. I love being able to chant them.
Cool.
If nothing else. So is there anything else you guys want to, I've been kind of leading the discussion. Is there anything you guys want to talk about for Pentecost?
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I don't really have anything much because, as I say, it wasn't part of our tradition growing up. So.
And at one point, where I was in the collaborative, we were trying to do every Pentecost a witnessing, you know, either have someone who had just come through the RCIA and been initiated, or other people in the parishes learn how to get up and do like a 2 minute or 3 minute, you know, reflection. We were starting to do that because we felt it was important, especially in the new evangelization, to get your, you know, regular Joe or Jane Catholic to get up and, you know, just witness about how God works in their life.
Sure.
And it's funny how you try to introduce that to people and people are like, I can't do that. That's I don't know how to do it. And we were ready to teach them. You know, we're going to teach you how to do it. We're going to show you how to do it. And we want to do it on Pentecost Sunday and have one at every single Mass. So there were 8 Masses in the collaborative. So, you know, but it people are shy. Catholics are shy. They don't get up and speak like our Protestant brothers and sisters are trained to do. And they are trained to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're made comfortable. If they're not trained, they're made comfortable to do it. Catholics, we don't do that. And I think that may be our downfall at some point, because where we are very good with our actions, sometimes you actually have to use words to get not the other people, meaning outside of the Catholic tradition, fired up. You got to get the ones in the pews fired up.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you're going to do that is if you get up yourself and say, hey, look, you know, this is how God works in my life. Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah, exactly. One thing I just remembered we're going to talk about, you know, we talked about the Pentecost Novena, and you said that we're praying the Novena so that we can receive the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think we all at some point have learned these. you know, whether it's through religious education, through coming into the church, through RCIA, through whatever reasons. Now, how many of us actually remember them?
Oh, you didn't say there was going to be a test.
Well, I didn't say that you have to. Well, if you remember them, you can rattle them off, but no.
Jeez. Oh,
no,
piety. Don't make me. I've taught confirmation for years. It's like I could sit here and do it, but it's late.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not putting you on the spot, so don't worry about that.
Well, Father, I'm sure you have a list.
I have a list, and that's
there
that's
is good. A list. You know. There is a list.
So there are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, and fear of the Lord, as well as piety. Those are the seven gifts. The first six are actually out of Isaiah, the book prophet Isaiah, and the seventh has been added at a later time. The fruits of the spirits, there are 12 traditional, nine that come from the Bible, and the 12 kind of overlap and mix in. So I'll just read the 12, because those are the ones that we traditionally look at as Catholics: charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long suffering, humility or gentleness, fidelity or faithfulness, modesty, continence and self-control, and chastity. So, you listen to that list, and I'm sitting there going, boy, I could use a lot more of everything.
Same
here. Long-suffering. You know, so. I like that one a lot. Long-suffering. Yes.
Long-suffering.
I'll agree with you.
Yeah, it's so that this is what we're praying for when we ask for the Holy Spirit to come down upon us, you know, that we receive these gifts of the Holy Spirit, these seven gifts, and that through exercising those seven gifts, we receive the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You know, that one leads to the other. You know, that we can, you know, you can judge an action by its fruit. You know, you judge, you know, whether something is effective, whether something is working by the fruit that it produces. Well, if our lives are producing the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that means the gifts are working in our lives. You know, so that should be our prayer, that the Holy Spirit come upon us. And it's interesting because on Ascension, the reading from St. Paul talk about how, you know, asking for the spirit of wisdom and revelation for knowledge of the Lord. There they are right there. That's, you know, that's what he was asking about. And that was part of my homily. That's why I remember it off the top of my head. that, you know, that it's the Holy Spirit that brings us that wisdom and revelation that leads us to know the Lord, knowledge of the Lord. So that's should be our prayer during this Pentecost season. So this good time, I think, to take a quick break, and then we'll have to do our picks after. Once again, I want to thank everyone for listening to our Let's Talk, our weekly community podcast, and all our podcasts, whether it is The Secrets of Star Trek, Secrets of Doctor Who, Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, Secrets of Oz, Secrets of Movies and Television, all the shows that we have available here, just the great stuff that we have for you to enjoy and to hopefully share. If you do enjoy it, I hope, first of all, you're subscribing to our podcast through iTunes and Stitcher and the Google Podcasts and all the different podcast tools that are available. And then sharing ours, you know, sharing them on Facebook. You could go to SQPN's Facebook page and find our podcasts there and share them. You can go to YouTube and find our SQPN page on YouTube and find them there. Give us likes, give us, you know, thumbs up, whatever you do on that particular tool, that particular network, and, you know, let people know about us and give us comments. Of course, we want feedback. So we appreciate comments on all those different media such as YouTube and Facebook. So please do that. We also want to thank those who help us through our Patreon campaign, those who are patrons of our Patreon campaign, to keep the lights on, keep things going here, that we can keep these shows coming out to you and make more. We've got more that we're starting to get going down the pipeline, and we want to get to you. So we thank those who have supported us in the past and continue to support us through Patreon. Especially want to thank Amanda M, Per H, Lisa H, Stefan H, and Patrick S. Thanks to you and all of our patrons for your support as we go through, as we continue to make these great shows and bring them out for you. Well, now we've got picks of the week, and who wants to go first? I'll let Pat go first.
Okay. Well, I was. I need to get the reference to you, but there is an online 3-minute retreat.
Hmm.
I'm trying to remember whether it's Jesuits. I believe so.
Okay.
At any rate, I found that very helpful. Like when I get ready to go into see a client, I can pull that out and take just a few minutes to kind of collect myself. Mm. And it's got a small scripture verse. It's got a prayer and it's got a place for reflection. And if you want to, you can turn on a little music with it. That it has in the background, but it's a 3-minute retreat.
Oh, very good.
And that's been helpful.
That's wonderful. That's always a very good thing. Good thing to do is to daily reflect. And that actually kind of plays into my pick a little bit too. So Joanne, do you have one for us?
Yes, I do. This is for those who choose confirmation programs, or who teach them and want, you know, to tell the people who choose them, this is a really good program. It's from Ascension Press and it's called Chosen.
Oh, yes.
I've used it for 5 years and it's a mix of video with discussion, in-class discussion with it's got stuff that they can do at home and it's not homework. It's sort of like, you know, real life application type stuff. And I think they're going to be going through a revision of it, but I've used it, and especially the videos. The videos are not static heads talking. Mm-hmm. They go out all over the world, and it's a mixture of people. You've got Dominican nuns, you've got priests, you've got deacons, you've got lay people, you've got married people. It's a really solid program, mm-hmm. and I think we used it for 5 years, and I think it changed the dynamics of the kids. I mean, teenagers are teenagers. They're going to come in and they're going to be in different shapes of, I don't feel like being here. But at least we could catch their attention for part of it by using this program. And I know it helped quite a few of them. So it's from Ascension Press and it's called Chosen.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah, we haven't used that program, but I'm very familiar with it. And I've heard very good things about it. So excellent choice.
I just looked up that retreat. It is by Loyola Press.
Okay.
And as I say, it is a 3-minute retreat. And I sent the link to you to include in our show notes.
Excellent. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. We'll make sure that links to that and all these will be in there. So my pick is actually kind of playing off of last week. So last week I picked the Formed program that our parish signed up for and really enjoy. I'm going to pick a section of the Form program within their, you know, of course they got different sections, different things within their prayer and devotion. They have recordings of the mysteries of the rosary, all 20 mysteries of the rosary, the 4 sets of mysteries narrated by Vin Scully. Now, if you know anything, if you know anything about baseball, Vin Scully is a name you'll recognize because he has been the voice of the Dodgers since they were the Brooklyn Dodgers. I think he just retired, or I know for a fact last few years he's only been doing like a inning or two, but he's just got one of those recognizable radio voices. And so they've got him narrating all the mysteries, joyful, sorrowful, luminous, and glorious on that,
wow,
that Formed. And if your parish has the Formed site, you can get that for free. You just sign up through your parish and you get it for free. So check that out. You know, it's always some of us, myself included, find it easier to pray the rosary when we're doing it guided in a way, you know, whether it is with other people or through something like this, a recording of praying with someone. And so that's one possibility for praying the rosary to help with that. So check that out. Again, it's on formed.org. Well, thank you both for joining us this week. This has been a good conversation.
I've learned some things. Thank you.
Yeah.
This has been fun, even though I've been in a car in a mountain.
Hey, that works. That works. I can't think of a better place to be. So
closer to the spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
True that.
So Joanne, where can people find you?
Well, right now in a car on a mountain. But my life is in transition right now, and by the next time I either get on Secrets of Technology or here, I will probably have a place where people can find me. So right now I am incognito.
Oh, very good. Well, at least you're on Secrets of Tech once in a while. We usually get on together once in a while, and you're on here once in a while. So that's a good start. How about you, Pat?
Okay, my favorite place to hang out on Facebook is I have a Facebook page called The Mama Nerd.
Mama Nerd.
And so if you, even if you're not a Facebook subscriber, you could go to that particular page. And that's where I post several times a week, mostly all techie stuff.
Excellent.
But that's where I am. And I have a website as well.
Well, very good. Well, very good. Check that out. Again, I'm Father Corey Stika. You can find me on my website, frcorey.org, where I post my homilies. My Facebook page is Father Corey Stika. Twitter handle is frcoreystika. If you have any feedback for this episode or any episode of Let's Talk, you can send it to letstalk@sqpn.com. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless.